Changing the lives through Jesus' love. What does it mean to change the world? What does it mean to reach out to the world and touch the world? You know, this weekend we want to talk about the idea of joy, what it means to find joy in giving and have a living a Thanksgiving life as far as that's concerned. You know, this weekend we set one side weekend aside every year in November, and it's 3 years ago we started this family tradition, and it's my Dee and I, our kids, my sisters, my brother-in-laws, my nieces, and my nephew, and my great-nephew is actually there. He didn't do anything except make us all smile and be cute. But we get together and we make candy. And it's been fun because it's like this big candy weekend. We've made, I think, 8 different candies yesterday, and we've got, I think, one more we're going to try to do today and finish up. And in the process of it all, it brings a lot of joy. It's fun to be around family. We laugh a lot. We have a lot of fun. Our house is not that big. When you get 12, 13 people in it, it's like, can you move? Can you move? Can you move? But it's a lot of fun, and it's one of those things that's really interesting when there's like 5 diabetics in the house, and you buy 25 pounds of sugar, 3 pounds of Karo syrup, and you're going, yes, let's make candy. And you see it all in front of you going, I really shouldn't eat that. I really shouldn't eat that. But it's a lot of fun because we make it really so that we can give it away, so that we can give a gift of ourselves to other people. And really, isn't that what the season's all about? It's about the idea of giving ourselves away, about giving something away. It's the season of Thanksgiving. It's so easy to walk right past Thanksgiving and the world and holiday lights are already up and all that stuff. And I got my lights out on the roof, but I didn't turn them on. And I was like, you know, but I... Christmas seems to overwhelm Thanksgiving. And somewhere along the line, we need to live this life of Thanksgiving in everything that we do. And amidst all the hustle bustle, the food, the friends, the fellowship, and yes, everything made pumpkin, we have that. We need to not forget what the last word in that holiday is all about, and that is the idea of giving. What does that look like? I'm amazed every year that as soon as November comes, we start talking about gifts for Green Good Neighbors, and we start talking about gifts for the Christian Children's Home. And the fact that we get 50 names from kids in green that need help for Christmas, and those names are gone in 2 hours. That we had 20 names, and they're all now gone for the Christian Children's Home. I can't thank you enough for what that means. I can't thank you when 6 weeks ago we put an announcement in the bulletin that our food pantry was getting a little low, and now it's like overstocked. I don't have room on the shelves. It's sitting out on the countertop. And it's a joy when people call and say, hey, do you have anything? I says, yeah, we provide food. And she came in on Friday with almost tears in her eyes as we gave her 2 huge bags of food, a gift card, a card, just says we love and we care. And we ask people, how else can we help? That's a joy that we get to share on those events. But it's a joy we get to share because you gave. And I know we don't do this very much, but thank you. I mean, from the bottom of our heart as a staff, from the bottom of our heart as your leaders, thank you for giving. And then from there you go and say, well, gosh, if we're so good at it, why do we need to talk about it? Can we just ignore it? Because it is one of those topics that none of us really want to talk about. But we don't want to talk about money. There's a preacher... one time, it was one of the good Southern gospel preachers, and he was talking about church growth, and he was trying to make his point a little bit more enthusiastic. So I'm going to need some audience participation here. Okay, I'll tell you when. But the preacher said in the church in his sermon, he says, if the church is going to get anywhere, the church has to crawl. And the church said, let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl. All right? What? And then after that, he says that if the church is going to learn to crawl, it has to learn to walk. Somebody got it? Okay, and if it's going to learn to walk, it's going to learn to run. And if it's going to run, it's going to take money. And then, okay. And all of a sudden, that was it. In the back of the church, the whole church went silent, and one old man goes, let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl. And you know what? It does, doesn't it? But somewhere along the line, because it's personal, it's something we don't want to talk about. We don't like to talk about money. But it's not really talking about money is the issue. It's the idea of talking about giving. Giving of yourself. Giving of the joy that God has given to you. Because I truly believe when we don't practice giving, we miss out on God's greatest blessing in every single way. You know, a recent study, and as I say that, so many of these are 10 years old. This was last year. A study was done last year that 96% of Americans give to some sort of not-for-profit, which to me is awesome. It's great. I do that too. But of that 96%, only 32% give to the church. And since 1990, church giving is down 50%. And we look at the world that we live in, we look at the hurting people that are around us, not just the world, but your own community. And we realize how much could be done if the church had so much money that we could just give away. Because we are called to serve the poor and the homeless and the less fortunate. Each and every day, that is the cry of the church. And yes, to reach out to everyone with the love of Jesus. So I want to focus on this idea of the joy of giving this morning. Being able to give is something that should bring us joy. I mean, as parents, I love every time I get to give a gift to my kids. Whether it's Christmas, whether it's a birthday, whenever it is. To give them something, to watch them open something, to surprise them when it's not even one of those special days, and to say, hey, this is for you. And they're like, what do you mean? And I know as grandparents, you probably love to give gifts away like that. I'm waiting for that moment, just so you know. Patiently, right, Dee? Very patiently. So we're going to look at five simple things. We're going to run through them pretty quick. Simple things out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. We're not going to read all those verses, but I would encourage it during the week to read through chapter 8 and read through chapter 9 because it talks about a story about giving. Paul here is trying to encourage the Corinthian church, thus the book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church to give, to make good on their promise, on their pledge to the church at Jerusalem that was hurting, that was trying to grow. And in doing so, he uses another church, the church at Macedonia, as an example. The church at Macedonia they were hurting. They were impoverished. They were pretty much desolate in every single way. And yet, as Paul uses this example, he does it with joy in his heart because the church at Macedonia was so excited about giving out of their need. So if you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know that about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Why don't we stop there? I stop there because this is one of the places that the word grace is used. It's used in a lot of different ways. Typically, we talk about it in the sense that it's an unmerited favor. It's getting something that we don't deserve. And here, it's used in this idea of giving gifts, of giving something away. So many times when we talk about grace, it's this idea of, it's the grace that God gives to us. Yes, but guess what? That grace is meant to be given as a gift and to give it away. So the first point there is giving is a sharing of God's grace to others. You and I are called to give it away each and every day. Don't hold back. Don't let go. And just give it away in everything we should do and everything we should say. The church there in Macedonia was literally in poverty. They had nothing. And yet they were making good on their promise to the church at Jerusalem. And in the midst of all their trials, in the midst of all their pain, the grace that they were giving away was shining like a bright, shining light on a hill because they gave. And every one of us should consider it a favor from God that we have the opportunity to give. In verse 7, let me read that for you. It says, but just as you excel in everything, listen, here's life, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, just life, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, See also that you excel in the grace of giving. Give it away in everything that you do. Give it away. We're so fortunate here at Lakeview in the sense that when you give to the general offering, 12% of that goes to missions. And listen, I'm part of the board at Round Lake, and I've seen that giving drop over and over and over. Many churches are only being able to give 2, 3, 4% to missions. Why? Because they don't have enough to supply their own need. And you and I, as a church, we're giving 12%. And I think really over and above that when we start looking at special gifts. And that giving helps to reach people with the gospel literally all around the world. We just heard from Sindoga Bungu in Africa. We know that we had Earl Harbner here last year, and he talked about the message that goes on to Brazil. We were in Mexico, and we saw how that message was spread there in Mexico. The good news of Jesus is being spread everywhere in the world. Why? Because of your generosity and your gifts. But it's not just that. Giving is not just about the size of the gift either. I don't want to forget that. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude in which you and I give. It's not about how big the check is you put in the plate. Let's look at verses 2 through 4. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and the extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. This is the church in Macedonia. Their extreme poverty. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. They were afflicted by high taxes, by the plunders of the Roman government. The people were underpaid, they were overtaxed, and they still gave all that they could. Paul ultimately could have written a letter out and says, we need to send money to the church in Macedonia. And he didn't send that. Instead, the church in Macedonia was giving their money away and their gifts away. You see, the blessing they had was bigger than their poverty. It was bigger than their poverty. It would have been easy for the churches to make a token gift, but that's not what they did. They gave joyously. They gave bountifully. They gave according to their ability and, I love what it says, beyond, exceedingly. Mark 12:41 and following, Jesus was watching the people putting money into the treasury temple. He watched a whole bunch of rich guys put money in. They were putting lots of stuff in, and all of a sudden, he saw this poor widow came out, and she put in two very small copper coins, what you and I would consider pennies. And what did he say? Whose gift was greater? Hers. Because of her attitude, because she gave from the heart. You see, some people could write a check for $1,000 and not think anything about it. Other people could write a check for $10 or give $10, and it literally would cost them all that they had for the week. Which gift is greater? And I love what verse 4 said. These impoverished churches in Macedonia, they begged. They urgently pleaded for ways that they could give. When was the last time you said, oh, I'll do it. Come on, pick me. They were begging for ways to give away what they had. Their heart was in the right place. And because their heart was in the right place, they were able to give beyond what seemed reasonable and what seemed able. There is joy in being able to participate when we help other people. When we give things away, there is joy in that. There is joy in being able to do something larger and bigger than yourself. So think about it. Start small. So you go, I don't know where to start when it comes to giving. Start small. Instantly we say, oh, we have to give the tithe, the first fruits of our labor. If you can, you can. But start small. Because as your faith grows, so does your giving. You have to start somewhere. I want you to think about it. We sit in a building that is completely paid for, that is debt-free. People sacrificed their lives, their talents, their skills, their money, so that you and I could have a place to come to worship. We should be thankful for that gift. And some of them are still in this room today. And we should be so, so thankful and blessed because of faithful men and women that have paid the price. The third thing there is we need to understand self-surrender to Jesus makes giving a joy. Now, if you don't understand anything else, if you don't listen to anything else, I'm okay with that. But listen to verse 5. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, keeping in God's will. Did you hear that? Where did they give first? To the Lord. They gave to God first. Yes, it was the first fruits of the labor, but they understood where their faith was. Their life was dedicated on God. Why? Because Jesus gave up everything for you and for me. Don't forget that. We'll come back to that in just a second. But their primary devotion, their primary dedication was to God. This literally means that their first importance was not themselves. It was this idea of a self-surrender, of you and I saying, it's not about me, it is about God. And as your relationship with Christ grows, so does your desire to do more and more and more for him. Listen, we used to give when we were first Christians. And I know when I first was a Christian, I didn't have anything to give. I had a job. I was making a grand total of $5 an hour. Woohoo! And I was trying to put money away for college. I was trying to put money in my car that was an 8-cylinder that got like 3 miles of the gallon. You know, it was huge. It was massive, but it was mine. And it was one of those things. I didn't feel like I had anything to give. But as I started to give and I started to realize that I saw my faith growing, and I started to realize that where my calling was and that God wanted me to serve, all of a sudden, giving didn't become a chore, it became a blessing. Because I got the chance to give. I didn't have to, I got to. And that changes everything as you start to follow Christ and as your faith starts to grow. You see, it's amazing, we make sacrifices for our family all the time. Why? Because we love them. We would do anything. Dee and I would literally do almost anything for our kids. If they said, hey, I have a need, okay, what do you need? I wouldn't care. I'd give up everything. I'd do everything for my kids. Why? Because I love them. There is a world outside of these doors that needs love, that need to see grace, that need to understand what that's all about. We need to reach out and touch and love other people. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Do we treasure Jesus enough to make a sacrifice? To want to serve him? To want to share about him? To want to love others in his name? And to give even more? The fourth thing there is Jesus is our example of what it means to give. I think this kind of goes without reason. We just talked about it for the last 3 weeks about prayer. He was our example there. Great leaders lead by example. Jesus gave. He gave everything. 2 Corinthians verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Listen, got to understand this, folks. Jesus gave up everything. He was in heaven with his dad. And he gave up heaven to come down here for us. He became poor so that you and I might be rich and find grace and find life and find mercy and find hope. There is no greater example than that. And he gave that up for us so that you and I might truly understand what it means to live. We might truly understand what it means to love. And sorry if I get a little bit preachy there, but it's the truth. He gave up everything for us. And you can read through in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all that. But I'm going to read a couple verses because I want us to see that example that Jesus set. That if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any compassion from his love, if any fellowship, if any tenderness and compassion, notice it says, if, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one purpose. And then he goes down in verse 5, and your attitude should be the same as who? As Christ Jesus. There is our example of what it means to give, what it means to love, and what it means to live life and live it to its absolute fullest. And Jesus could have ended everything with one word, with one statement, and he didn't. He gave his life for us. And you and I need to realize that the result of his sacrifice is salvation. And yet so many times we just think, oh, it's at the end. That's at the end. That's our result. No. It's the life that we get to live right now. It's the life that we get to live with joy. It's the life that we get to live with hope. It's the life that we get to give away. That's where our real excitement and real enthusiasm should come from. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, we're going to kind of wrap things up with this. He says that we are all blessed by God so that you and I can bless others. That's our last point. It says at the present time, your plenty will have supply of what you need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality with what is written, and this was written in Exodus. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. That we are there for one another to supply and help and love. Why are we being blessed right now so that we can help others? It's not to get what we want. It's so that we can help others in that way. So that we can practice this term called stewardship and be good stewards of our money. Not just the church's money, but also your money. And how you give it, and how you share it, and how you use it, and how you spend it. Jesus calls you and I, as I said earlier, to help the poor, to help the homeless, to help the less fortunate, to help the widows, to help the orphans. He talks about that people group more than any other. And it's time that we step up and we do something. The Corinthian church were in better shape than all the other churches around the area. They were better shaped than the church in Jerusalem. They were better shaped than the church in Macedonia, and yet they weren't even following through their commitments. As Paul is pointing out to them that God had blessed them for a time such as this. And I believe God's doing the same thing for us. The first thing you and I need to do is give yourself. First of all, give yourself completely to Jesus. There may be somebody in the room today that's never made that decision to accept Christ in your life. And I'll just throw the question out there. What are you waiting for? Do you have questions? If you do, we're here. We talk about that every week. We're here. Don't wait too long. Do you want to experience the blessings of knowing Christ? Because there are blessings in knowing Him. The second thing we have to do is give yourself away. Give your grace away. Give that message away. Give your gifts away. And last, listen to the words found in Luke 6:38. And they're not on the screen, because I want you to listen to them. These are from the message. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But do not merely give it back. Given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the only way. Because generosity begets generosity. Why? Because as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you read that this week, verse 6, that God loves a cheerful giver. You and I are called to give life, to live life with joy. I know there are times we walk around with our heads down and we're, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're kind of that Eeyore mode, you know? You know exactly what I mean. Well, I don't really know where to go. But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to live life with a smile, to live life with joy. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, there are times we don't feel like we have anything. God wants us to live life and live life to its fullest. We do that by giving it away. Give your faith away. Give your time away. Give your gifts away. And give. And then we truly can understand what the whole word, what the whole season about, this idea of thanks. Giving. That's a holiday worth spending. That's a holiday worth giving. And next week, we're going to talk about how to turn that one more step and talk about how to live a thankful life in all that we do. Father, thanks. Thank you for your message. Thank you for these words that are very loud and true to us. The story about this church in Macedonia that had so little and they gave so much. Help us in our lives to look at that example and ask ourselves, what can we give? But it starts with giving our life to you. Starts with understanding who you are and knowing Christ as our Savior. I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know that, that they could step out of that pew, they could step down the aisle, they can come and talk to us, we can pray with them, walk through the scriptures with them, and help them realize that they need to be born again into a new life, into a new hope, and find Jesus. Father, maybe someone who wants to just say, hey, I've served, I want to be part of this church, you can do that as well. But many of us probably need to sit right where we are and ask ourselves, God, help me to become a giving, loving, caring, serving person.